I want to jump right in since we have the 117th governor of the great state of South Carolina with us. Governor McMaster, if you wouldn't mind taking it away.
I'll be happy to. Thank you, Ben. I would encourage everybody to communicate with the people making the laws and otherwise. The words that we use here, communicate, collaborate, and cooperate, it works every time. The more, the better we're informed, the more we can do. So don't ever worry. I tell people, just call me. Call me on the cell phone. If I can't answer, I'll say so. But we call people back as quickly as we can. But I think our success is the things that we've done right have depended on getting information from people all across the state and those deeply involved in the various issues that they're seeking help on. And a prime example of that is the Accelerate SC group, where we had, when we went into the virus trying to figure out exactly how to proceed. Y'all remember we had 30 members of that group from medicine, law, business, tourism, education, academia, everywhere. And several legislators also participated. But that's where we came up with the plan. And that's the plan that we have been following with minor adjustments here and there as we nimbly move along since the beginning. And Ben, you might, and the rest you may remember, that we were getting pounded by the national media for not closing down, not issuing a stay-at-home order. I mean, states were telling people they had to stay at home unless they were what they called essential workers. We never could draw a distinction between essential and non-essential because everybody's job's essential. Everything everyone's doing is essential. So we didn't do that. What we did was, as you recall, we looked at those activities, circumstances, and places where the virus would most likely be able to be spread based on what we knew at the time, and it turned out to be right. Barbershops, beauty parlors, some restaurants, concerts, places where people are jammed in together and breathing the same air and touching the same things over and over again. And so we had a light, deliberate touch on it, and then we came out and removed those as quickly as possible. And we have no restrictions. We haven't had any restrictions on anything for weeks. The only reason that we still have a state of emergency is because that's required in order to receive a lot of the federal funds and a lot of the collaboration among agencies that I can require in a state of emergency, but not otherwise. But the funds for the National Guard, for example. And speaking of the National Guard, they've been everywhere. Oh, they have been overseas. They, of course, they went to Washington right now. I just visited them down on the Rio Grande and El Paso and Del Rio, and went out to the wall and to the absence of the wall, unfortunately. But our troops down there are great. But they've really been, the National Guard has come through this and other episodes and challenges in flying colors. And that they've given, I think, about 80,000 vaccinations themselves. But other states are digging out, and they are explaining their failures. We, on the other hand, we're blasting off and celebrating our successes. We've had tragically some deaths and bad illness, but not like other places, and we're moving through it. The really good news is, because of our approach, because of understanding that South Carolina's business is business. That is, if you don't have business flourishing, then you're not going to have education. You can't take care of the environment. You can't do anything without strong business. And if you don't have education, you're not going to have strong businesses. It's all intertwined. So we know the value of small business. So back where I started, don't ever hesitate. You're doing those of us that are trying to do these policy things, you're doing us a big favor by letting us know what you see and what you know. Because if you don't tell us, we might not know. So we appreciate your guidance. We had a grants program in out of the CARES Act. We had $40 million. Ben, you remember very well. It was handled by the Department of Administration. We gave grants to 2,284 small businesses. I've asked the legislature for $123 million more to do the same thing again. We had a long line of small businesses that applied. Unfortunately, we just ran out of money. But the posture of the legislature now is that we want to see what's going to happen to this next $2.1 billion that's coming in. If that money can be used for these kind of grants, then we won't need to use state tax money for those kind of grants. So that's the posture right now, but I've asked for $123 million. The liability protection, there are, I don't know if it's the House or Senate. I know there's a lot of conversation. There are bills pending, and the essence is if a business followed the guidelines, then they should not be held liable for anything. For the virus. And I imagine that some of the lawyers have commented in the General Assembly be very difficult to prove that where you, a person actually got the virus since it was all over the place. But that is a scant comfort sometimes when you have a lawsuit staring at you and you're trying to defend yourself. So as you said, we don't want to let lawsuits kill what the virus could not. But progress is being made on that as well. The vaccination rollout, we have done well. We had some fits and starts at the beginning. We opened up to age groups more quickly than most of the states. And we have a phenomenal infrastructure that's built out there right now. With, I think, the latest count, I haven't gotten the numbers today, but it was, I think, yesterday, and it's pretty stable now. It's been growing. It's 1,093 different providers across the state, and that includes the big hospitals, the small hospitals, some doctor's offices, pharmacies all over the place, independent as well as the big chain pharmacies. And the flow of the vaccine is steady. It's increasing steadily. And this was something that the Trump administration did that was really terrific, and that is they pushed the manufacturers, the pharmaceutical manufacturers, to put other things aside and work on this, try to get this vaccine ready. And they ordered and paid for, I think, 800 million doses, and we haven't had that many out yet, but that's how many were ordered and paid for. And that's where this vaccine is coming from right now. Of Trump administration is really pushing it out, and the Biden administration has picked that up and doing the same thing. So the good news is it's available. It's being produced more and more. We started off at the beginning. Sometimes we might have 2,000 shots given in a day. Now we're up, every now and then we're up at 80,000 shots a day in all of those through that infrastructure that we've created. I call it a vaccine infrastructure. So that's good news. And there was a report I read, I had not discussed, from MUSC, where they were saying they think have approached about a 60% immunity among our people. Now, whether that's low or high, I don't know, but it's certainly good to hear someone in authority calculating it out that high. We know we've had 20, about 2.5 million people have gotten shots. About over 1.5 million have had all the whole regimen, whether it's one or two. A lot of people, of course, have had the virus and have gone through it and have developed some immunity. And we know the young people from below 18 rarely, if they do get it, they don't show it. It's not debilitating and they don't spread it. But we're now opened up any of these places that are open and have a supply. And I think all of them do now. We had some dry spots for a while, but you can go get your shot. If you want it, go get it. If you don't. But if you do, you can go online or you can call some of these hospitals or call DHEC. There are ample places to get the information. But if you want one, you get one, and they are, the line is moving very well. But what we want to do is see that this advantage that we are now have built for ourselves based on other advantages that we've had from the beginning with the great technical college and the great networks and those things that we have. and the great people who need to be trained and stood up to take these jobs, we want to be sure that we are moving ahead very quickly. I call it blasting off. Other states are digging out. They're trying to recover. We, as you know, we froze new spending. We put half of the CARES Act money. We put $900 million out of the $1.9 billion back into the unemployment insurance trust fund. So that's so nobody's taxes, no business taxes are going up as a result of a lack of money in that trust fund. We took a very careful, cautious approach. Everyone involved, Accelerate SC, the legislature, all the executive branches working together. And I think we're in a position now to really move ahead. I know I went to the State Park in Myrtle Beach yesterday. I'd never been there before. The place was packed. People all over the place. Dwayne Parris says that he's seen the same thing in our other state parks. People ready to get out. Our occupancy rate in the hotels and things is a lot better than I think the rest of the Southeast and certainly the rest of the country. So we have some opportunities, and we've had some fortuitous things come along. Just for example, we had the Heritage. You know, that's this month. That's in April at Hilton Head PGA, and then the Kiowa, the PGA Championship is in May. At Kiowa, the PGA had a tournament, a championship tournament in Canada that had to get canceled because of the virus. So they asked if we could do it here. And there's a Congaree Golf Club. It's relatively new. It has a foundation for taking young people, particularly underprivileged, and having them mentored and that sort of thing. It's a beautiful golf course. So we have arranged for the state to sponsor that in June. So the entire golf world, there'll be millions of people around the world watching beautiful scenes and sounds in South Carolina, April, May, and June. And that's the kind of thing, those are the kind of things that really separate us, put us apart, and spell good news for the future. So I'll end where I start. I can try to answer the questions if you have any, but the main thing is we have an advantage because we didn't close down. We're getting out of this, and we got a ways to go. We got to be careful of the virus. We don't know what's going to happen. Here we got hurricane season starting in June, and they say it's going to be more active, but they say whatever doesn't destroy you makes you stronger. I'm starting to believe that because we seem to be getting stronger and stronger. But keep us informed of what you need and what would make things work better. And let us know early so that we don't have to stop the train and reverse it, but can point it in the right direction to start when legislation starts going through or when policies are being formulated. That's my story.
Well, and Governor, you know I'm not afraid to come ask you and your staff for help on items, and y'all have always been quite helpful. I did want to expand on a couple things you mentioned. The Accelerate SC committee, we had a gentleman, Chris Patterson from Spartanburg, who is an NFIB member, was one of your appointees to the committee. We talked a great deal. He was super helpful with issues and looking out for small business. And looking out for all business in South Carolina. So we appreciated that very much. You had mentioned how South Carolina had never truly closed. And before you got on the call, I was mentioning how the BEA met last week. And for those who didn't hear, these are the folks that, you know, determine how much money the state has to spend. And a lot of that, the numbers are way up because businesses did not close, and did not fully close. And so, you know, we are in a good position, going forward to, you know, as the governor mentioned, the new golf tournament that's now coming. I mean, those folks are going to be eating in your restaurants, going to be shopping in your stores, are going to be staying in your hotels and, you know, spending time in South Carolina and in shopping and spending money in small businesses. And so being able to get something like that, you know, is only going to help our businesses, help all businesses in South Carolina, and help the economy as a whole going forward. And so we've been constantly working with, you know, the governor's office. We work with the state chambers, state manufacturers, retailers, you know, local chambers at all on issues. And, you know, you had mentioned COVID liability briefly. Y'all are all going to see a call to action because the bill is in full House judiciary, came out of Senate judiciary. You know, Governor, I know that was part of your state of the state and part of your platform going forward. And it's because of you've talked about it. I'm talking about it. Others in the business community are talking about it, that we hope that we're going to get this through. And as you said, provide this protection. You know, whether the lawyers think it's needed or not, it is something that has been the number one issue for our folks literally up until this month when we do our optimism index. This month it has switched to gaining employees, getting folks back, you know, back and working. And you had mentioned UI and the $900 million there. We've gotten several questions before this all started. If you could expand maybe a little bit on that, we've seen other states are billions of dollars in debt in their UI trust fund. You know, South Carolina has really came out of it from 08-09 when we had to borrow money. And that was something that I was involved with when the economy turned before. And we haven't gone back into that really bad situation like just our close neighbors and, you know, not even looking at a state like California, that's billions and billions of dollars in debt there. You know, working with Director LZ and the folks over there on how UI is working and how that affects us.
Yes, well, you're right. We didn't dig ourselves into a hole by not shutting everything down. And we allowed people to keep working. And we didn't require people to go to work and then go lock themselves up at home. And we didn't say that some people couldn't even go to work if they weren't essential employees, by whatever definition that was. So we didn't make those mistakes. We thought about it very carefully and thought we were doing the right thing. And it turns out it was not only a better way, it was a very, very much better way to do it. But so we made that decision. The legislators and others to be sure to protect that unemployment trust fund because we didn't want to have to raise taxes on people to keep it up to the proper level. But Ben, we've gotten, I don't have the current figures here, but with all the federal funds coming in, those that came through the schools, some that did not pass through the General Assembly or this office, of those who went through the Small Business Administration, all the FPUC, PUA, the PEUC, the LWA, and the XYZ, and all the rest of them, there's over $10 billion in federal money that has come into the state so far as of about this time last year. That's a lot. But we didn't borrow money. We are careful. Our people think that we didn't want to saddle ourselves with that unnecessarily, and we didn't do it. And as a result, we're in a much better shape. In fact, I had a banker friend tell me, I don't remember exactly the details, but some of the large banks, or it may be some of the government regulators, were devising a model on precautions and things that should apply to the banks going forward in terms of lending capacity and that sort of thing. And as my friend and his bank were looking at it, they saw that those things didn't make any sense to his bank. And they called those that were proposing the rules and said, these don't make any sense for us. And they said, well, tell us the figures of the unemployment and all those sorts of things and the fact that the impact of the shutdown. And it turned out that those new rules or policies were based on what happened in other states where they did shut down and they're digging out and they borrowed money, and that did not happen here. So it's because of those wise decisions and an economy that was strong and growing to begin with that we've been able to not only to survive, but I think we've slowed down, but we'll really be able to prosper. And a part of this, of course, is infrastructure. We don't know how much of this next $1 or $2 trillion is going to be available for infrastructure. I had a phone call with Secretary Yellen about, I guess, 2.5 weeks ago, And she had 60 days from that time to come up with the regulations and rules on how the, I'll say the $2.2 trillion can be spent. And then there's another bill, another infrastructure bill that Congress is contemplating now after that. This next one is not truly infrastructure. It's supposed to be COVID related, but in looking at it, most of it is something other than COVID. Nevertheless, we are anticipating getting some money for bridges, highways, all those kind of things. And we've got, if you've been on our highways lately, they're packed. And we need some expansion and some widening. I went up to I-26 to Greenville the other day, and I felt like I was on Darlington Racetrack with nothing but trucks going by. That's a great sign that we have that kind of commerce. But also, we need to expand those roads to be sure everybody can move quickly and safely, particularly when with the port. I mean, the port of Charleston's expanding. Y'all know we're going to have the deepest port on the Atlantic coast when we get through with the deepening that's going on right now, thanks to our congressional delegation, particularly Senator Lindsey Graham. It'll be, I think if I remember correctly, 55 feet at low tide, which means those big ships, including the one that was stuck in the Suez Canal, will be able to come into Charleston. And we're expanding with the Leatherman Terminal. And we have two inland ports, as you know, and that is rail lines, CSX and Norfolk Southern, go to Dillon and hook up with I-95, and go to Greer and hook up with I-85. Those are some of the heaviest traveled interstates in the region. So that's something no other state has had. So if we can get all that infrastructure, the highways and the rail lines and all that really, really booming, that's going to put us in even a stronger position. So I'm excited about it, about what's coming. And I'm delighted to have the opportunity to communicate, collaborate, and cooperate with you all as well as others. By the way, I found out a fellow from up north. I was at a place one time, and he was not accustomed to people saying y'all. That was something new to him. And I was making a talk, and I said about something about all y'all, and he got up and said, "Now you knew what the plural of y'all was. It's all y'all." So everybody's learning about South Carolina.
Well, we appreciate them all coming and opening businesses here and shopping in our businesses here. And I promised your staff I would have you done by 10:30. So I will probably get some questions over to your staff, because we did have some others, but we'll take care of those. I'll get them over there. But thank you very much, one, for your time this morning, and two, for being such a good friend to small business and to myself. And we just appreciate all you're doing for the state.
Thank you very much. Appreciate the same for you, and let's stay in touch.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Governor.